perjure the universe, turn everything around, till the worst is applauded as the best, and the best is kicked into the gutter and spit on. William S. Burroughs, The Last Word.
This is The Poet's Weave, and I am Jenny Kander. Scott Hutchinson says he is the last of a line of prevaricators. Using poetry and mathematics to match narrative and numbers, he learned that darkness has lots of company. Which makes me wonder, Scott, what you'll be reading to us.
Self-improvement. The relationship begins with mutual attraction. The older woman is creating a colorful chapter from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. She is outnumbered by the younger man, who is working the 12 steps, recovering, uncovering, and discovering deeper existential truths. But this is misdirection. Our heroes are the understudies of the villains they oppose. Each has learned through disappointment of the comforts of a secret life. Like the coyote, he embraces Cartesian phantoms, no more substantial than tiny white clouds in a clear blue sky, and she has begun a new life with the best of intentions. A matter of perspective. One day I saw the sky like a weatherman. Multicolored bands melted down the horizon with numbers as large as great lakes marking temperatures. I shouted the warning that wind chill was a threat to exposed skin. The sky held 6 suns, some bright and shining, others perched on clouds the size of Iowa. The great arm of color radar turned raindrops the size of cities, bright red where they fell in clusters and dark blue where they fell scattered. Arrows marked the jet stream high above. A great serrated knife blade scraped the storms away, leaving fair and mild written in the sky. Enon. He walks the raised clay road through lowlands on his way to the fields. Aging trees guard turquoise ponds, scattered like sweat beneath a farmhand. Before he reaches Mad Creek, slender wisps drift off the ponds, forming dancers, women he has only seen or loved and turned bitter. The haze drapes an arm, bends at a knee, trails long hair before his eyes, forms a face, and then vanishes into his past. Returning too tired to resist the chill, he moves into a red sun drowning in a dark blue sky. The ponds rest, cold gleaming with reflected light. His eyes strain to open, but never see enough, peering into shadows like staring at locked doors. Half-concealed trees thicken, mist races between them like gray wolves, leaping across his path, baiting him in twilight. He prays beneath the rush of blood, chased by fear of his own footsteps. The Company of Lies. The petitioner is the younger man, sitting meaningfully across the table by the door. He has asked for a better future, and his request has been denied. He has, until this moment, looked older than he was, but from now on, everyone will be amazed by his age. The grantor is the older man, seated behind the table, barricaded in his office. The older man is certain he will be retired or dead long before his folly is revealed, while the younger man gives judgment day no more than a year. The older man asks his foe not to tell anyone what he has done to him over the last few months. This request strikes the darker memories of the young man like the fingertip sparks on the cathedral ceiling. The molesters of the child he once was use the same words to keep their professional secrets. He waits 2 years and tells all, not that anyone is listening anymore. God smiles. After all, forgiveness is the coin of his realm, not Caesar's.
You've been listening to poems by Bloomington poet Scott Hutchinson on The Poet's Weave. I am Jenny Kander.